Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Chicago Sports Station.
When you fall one game short or 90 feet short, you have to look in the mirror. I know I have, and said, you know, there are a lot of things I could have done better so that we would have won that one extra game. I think our players, all of us, have gone through that same process. And then it was the next step is making adjustments. And our players have taken that to heart. And each player individually has gone out this winter to work on their weaknesses and really make adjustments and come back as better players.
Cubs President of Baseball Operations Theo Epstein speaking yesterday, the official beginning of spring training in Mesa, Arizona. Sahadev Sharma covers the Cubs for The Athletic. He's on Twitter at Sahadev Sharma, and he joins the Bernstein and McKnight show now on The Score. Sahadev, how are you?
I'm doing well, guys. Just getting accustomed to this spring training schedule and hopefully getting ready for some baseball soon.
Did we learn anything about the baseball team yesterday amid the other larger, heavier stories?
Honestly, there wasn't that much baseball talk. It was a lot of, you know, this has been a pretty negative offseason, you could say, for the Cubs. There's been a lot of, whether it's the spending on the team or the Joe Ricketts emails or Addison Russell domestic violence situation, there's a lot going on that they have to deal with. And it's rightfully so. They need to address it properly and come out and be honest about what's going on. But there was very little baseball. There was a little bit about what Joe Maddon, own it now, the catchphrase that is likely going to be on T-shirts this season. A little bit about how he's going to be a little more hands-on coaching the team, young coaching staff surrounding him, and he wants to be a part of really, a critical season and being more hands-on and hopefully helping this team win more games.
So the television network really does have ties into the actual baseball. I think there were a lot of expectations that bringing on their own network would open up all these different forms of revenue and money, and then they'd sign Harper and Machado and then deal with the checks they've got to write out later. That hasn't been the case. I wonder if you've dug into why, or if you think they're just waiting for those revenue streams to come online. Is Major League Baseball's cable bubble collapsing, or has it already collapsed?
Yeah, you know, I think there's a little bit to that, but I think that's a big part of it. They were supposed to be upfront money here, and when you build your own network, there's not as much upfront money. There's also, yeah, a little bit of that bubble is bursting. You're not seeing those huge deals that you saw with the Dodgers or Diamondbacks or other teams that just cashed in years ago. That's just not going to happen. We know how cable's changing. We know how these streaming services work, and it's just right now it's a little bit up in the air at how you make all that money. So, yeah, I think that definitely affected this offseason, and we'll see how it affects them in the future. It's going to be take a little bit of time to build up this network and really make it a big moneymaker. I think that's the thing that kind of changes the math here as to how much money is coming in and when it starts coming in.
I still think that they're going to have to figure out a streaming option here. That if they're really looking toward distribution, it's going to be a la carte. It is going to be off the grid. It's not going to be through this traditional model of a giant wire that's plugged into somebody's house or a satellite dish connected to somebody's house. Do you know if, in fact, they're going to say, look, somebody's going to be able to go over the top and just watch the Cubs on an app?
Yeah, for everything that they've said, they are aware of that. They seem to be more than aware of that streaming has to be an option. There's no clarity as to yet how it's going to happen. They said, you know, last year there were streaming options. You had, if you had cable, you could still stream it, things like that. I don't know how it changes. It's very different now. I know I watch TV much differently than I did even a couple years ago. You know, I'm streaming everything. I'm sure most of the listeners and most of you guys are too. So it they're all aware of that. How they do it isn't very clear yet for us. So hopefully they have a much more clear plan than any of us have of the vision that they have, because it's not entirely clear, but they assure us that they're aware of these things.
So Sadov, I wonder where you sit on your what your opinion of the starting rotation is for the Cubs. Obviously, they've on one side, it's not a dichotomy. It shouldn't be anyway. But on one side, there is the on paper, that's an established, accomplished major league rotation that's maybe the best in the National League. Or they're old and they don't throw hard and they're going to be broken sooner rather than later. I imagine the reality is somewhere in the middle, and I wonder where you felt it out.
Yeah, no, I can see, I see both sides of that argument. I get exactly why people would be concerned with the starting rotation. I think there are some certain things that stand out to me. I think you can look at Cole Hamels, and there were real changes that he made when he came to the Cubs. He was in the process of fixing some things. Mechanics got out of whack because of an injury. He was compensating for an injury through the 2017 season into 2018. And he made legitimate changes. The velocity ticked up. The command was there. The stuff looked like the type of stuff that made Cole Hamels an all-star. I think that he can carry that on for at least another year. How good? Is he going to be Cy Young caliber? I don't want to predict that. And it's similar with John Lester. Listen, I was as critical as anyone that first half that John Lester had, where he was great results, but then the peripheral numbers just weren't there. This guy may be one of those types of guys that can outperform his peripherals as time progresses, just because he's that smart, he's that good of a pitcher, he knows how to pitch, he knows how to work. Just look at his second half starts, how at the first inning was always a feeling out process. He was figuring out how the ump was calling the game, he was figuring out what he needed to do to get hitters out, and it would always look like he was on the verge of disaster, and then he'd figure it out and quickly fix it and have it go 5, 6, 7 strong. I think that is a big deal. I think those two guys are obviously veterans that are leading this rotation and are the keys to, if it's going to be good to great. Outside of that, I trust Kyle Hendricks more than anyone on this rotation. I think he's really strong. Health for Darvish is going to be key. Health and confidence. How is he mentally handling all the pressure? And then Quintana is someone we talked to today. He says his changeup is going to be key for him. They've been saying that for about a year, that he's kind of acknowledging it and really focused on that in the offseason. I think that could be a nice step for him. He really needs that third pitch to get it through the third time through the order. We know how two times he'd go through the order two times, and that third time he just could not do it. That was not the case in previous seasons, so that was kind of something new that popped up for him last year.
When do we see Brandon Morrow, and when we do, how was last year's experience, how is that going to inform his usage this year?
Well, he specifically said his usage was not an issue. That's what he told us today. I think that's being a good teammate, being a good player, not throwing anyone under the bus there. You're not going to see him for the first month. I think the timeline is the same as it's been for the past few months. He'll be back hopefully in May. The way he's looking at it is, hey, better to miss the first month than the last 3 months like he did last year. Listen, this guy, when he's healthy, this has always been the case from the moment he was drafted. When he's healthy, he's an elite talent. He's going to be, if he's on the field, if he's on the mound, he will be a dominant closer for this team. Because that we saw it. We saw it for 3 months. He was great. He was absolutely electric. So you just have to, it's all about health. And that's so hard to predict. This guy knows his body very well. He's not going to push anything. He's going to try and get back to help his team in May. If it takes a little bit longer, but he's healthy, so be it, is how I would look at it. And I think the Cubs should look at it that way as well. I'm sure they are. They want him healthy and ready to help them down the stretch. He's going to be an impact arm if that's the case, if he is healthy. He's a dominant reliever. There are a few that are as talented as him. He's just got to stay on the mound.
Speaking of health, I wonder if you guys have had a chance to talk with Chris Bryant yet. I know the couple of years that I was going on to camp, his early on in his career, he kind of did one big conversation and then not so much throughout the rest of spring. Is that still the case, or is he a little bit more accessible? Things change a little bit when he's coming off an injury?
He was here today. He told us he was rushing to go do something. So he's going to talk to us today or tomorrow. And he's pretty accessible. Especially for people that are around the team a lot. He'll chat with us. I don't think injuries are a concern with him. I've talked to plenty of people with the front office. We talked to him at Cubs convention. It does not sound like it sounds like it's something in the past. And if that's the case, then let's forget about what happened from May 19th on last year, because it was all injury. Now that we know when the injury occurred, now that we know just how much it impacted him, that it was lingered throughout the season. We know all these things now. Maybe they're not 100% honest with us during the season. I understand those things happen. Players don't like to talk about injuries when they're fighting through them. He's a completely different player when he's healthy. Let's watch batting practice, see how the ball is coming off his bat. Let's watch some spring training games, see how the ball looks when it's coming off his bat. I know you don't want to look at statistics during spring training, but let's just see how he looks, because he did look different last year, even in batting practice. In game, think about how many times he drove the ball after the injury. It was very rare. It just did not look like the same player. Anyone that thinks he's not a consistent, highly productive player when healthy isn't paying attention. This guy is a superstar when that shoulder is good. Look at those first 6 weeks. Those weren't okay numbers. Those weren't all-star numbers. Those were MVP numbers. And he'd actually taken it to another level that we hadn't seen. It was better than 2016. It was some of the best baseball I've ever seen Chris Bryant play.
Anybody on the team bring up the Pecota win projection, the win total? I think now is at 81. Obviously, they have to be aware of it. There's some teams that might say, well, look, Pecota hates us, and we're going to prove this algorithm wrong. The only people that believe in this team are the people in this clubhouse, damn it.
not yet. There haven't been any Pecota haters in the clubhouse as of yet. Now that you bring it up, I'll be sure to ask some people, see if anybody's noticed it. We didn't get it. There were so many serious matters to discuss yesterday, and Theo talked for such a long time. I'm curious what Theo has to say about it, because he does take some credence on those projection systems. They have their own system. I'm not sure if he'll tell us, at least on the record, what they're projected for the team. But I would guess it's not 81 wins. My guess is that they don't have a projection system that has them at 81 wins. I got to be honest, you know, I worked at Baseball Prospectus. I know all those guys that work on Pecota currently. I was shocked by that number. When it's explained, I kind of get it, but I also think it's a little off base, and that feels more like a everything goes wrong number than this is the median result.
Sahadev, we have like 15 seconds. Since you worked at BP, I got to ask the question. Give me two names of the 90,000 pitchers the Cubs have in camp that could surprise here on February 14th.
Oh, man. Geez, there's so many. I'm going to go with, I like Justin Steele as far as a lefty kind of popping up and being a youngster. Alzolay's hurt, so it's going to kind of set everything back there. But I also like Brad Brock as far as a nice ad that's going to be, you know, he's going to pick up some saves and he could be key in April.
Thanks, Sahadev.
Justin Steele. Good name. Sahadev, thank you.
Take care, guys.
Sahadev Sharma.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.